OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @AdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at MMAOddsBreaker.com on our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. And also check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. So a couple things to talk about today in the news, a couple fight announcements. Let's get right into it. First things first, UFC Vancouver takes place this Saturday night. I can't wait for this card. It's unfortunate I won't be there. A lot of my friends are there, James Lynch, Steve Jeffrey, a couple other guys they're good friends with. So I hope the Canadian MMA media have a good time at this event. One of the best things about covering the events, it's not just the fights themselves. It's also just the camaraderie between your fellow journalists. And I thought that was one of the best parts about covering the events that I've been to in the past, just actually hanging out with the other guys. I always thought that was pretty cool. So these guys are going to have an awesome time, and it's going to be a great card, especially with the main event, Justin Gaethje, Donald Cerrone. And let's talk about those two, especially Justin Gaethje. So Gaethje was interviewed by the media yesterday, and there's two things I want to talk about. First off, he went after Conor McGregor again. It seems like he really wants this fight. I don't blame him. I think it's a great fight, and I've called for this fight in the past, actually, even before this one took place. I said this would be the perfect fight for Conor to come back to. Gaethje's a guy that's going to stand and trade. He won't go to the ground. He wants to stand and trade and feed. So that's exactly what Conor wants in his return fight. I think that's why he wants that Poirier fight, or at least he's contemplating it. I think Gaethje's a perfect guy. He's extremely dangerous, obviously, but he's also susceptible to being knocked out, too. We've seen him get KO'd twice in the UFC by Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier, and Conor McGregor has massive power. So if those two actually do fight, Gaethje and McGregor, I think it's a very even fight. And honestly, I'd probably have to favor McGregor a little bit, even despite the layoff and despite him not looking very good in his last couple performances. But Gaethje is an amazing talent, one of my favorite fighters, if not my favorite ever. I mean, the guy's incredible, a pure action fighter, but I think he's just being smart here. He does want the winner of Tony Ferguson and Khabib, but I think he knows right now that that's it could happen, but that could be a while away. And I think that's why he's calling out Conor, because he knows Conor's free. Conor needs a fight. And if he does beat Cerrone, which I am predicting will happen, although that's still a hard fight to call because Cerrone is so good himself, but if Gaethje does win, as the odds expect him to, then I do expect him to call Conor McGregor in his post-fight speech. And honestly, that'd be such a great fight to have. I don't know when they do it, probably in the beginning of the new year if they do it, but it'd be a great fight. You know what you could do? You could do Khabib versus Tony Ferguson in the main event of whatever card. And then Gaethje versus McGregor, or even Poirier versus McGregor, or even any of those guys, really, Cerrone even versus McGregor in the co-main event. I think any of those fights really would make sense, just to keep those guys in the same kind of schedule. So we'll see what happens. But, of course, Gaethje needs to win over Cerrone this weekend to even get himself in that talk with McGregor. And one issue he's having right now is he has an eye injury. He has an eye infection. He says he's been cleared by the doctors, but I watched the Scrum interview with media, and he said his eyes were sore because of the lights. He said he just got off a plane, his eyes were sore, he had sunglasses on. That's concerning. Obviously, you don't want to have an eye injury heading into an MMA fight, so that's definitely concerning. He says he's been cleared by doctors. At this point, you have to trust him. I'm glad the fight hasn't been canceled yet. You never know. We still have 2 days left until the fight. You never know what could happen. We've seen fights in MMA get canceled at the last minute, literally the night of the fight. Remember the Stefan Struve and Matt Mitrione fight, I believe it was canceled like an hour before it was supposed to happen. So we've seen fights get canceled at the last minute. That was obviously a different thing, the Struve thing, because he had like anxiety or whatever. But with Gaethje, who knows? I mean, at this point, the fight's on. But if his eye's in that bad of shape, especially since he talked about in the interview, who knows if the commission's going to take a deeper look now. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully the fight just goes on with Cerrone. We see an amazing fight, but definitely worth mentioning that he did have an eye infection. He does have some sort of issue with his eye right now. Okay, a couple other things here. Paul Felder was talking about the Edson Barboza fight. He believes it was a close fight. He thought he won the fight. Of course, he thought he won. I thought he won too. It was a close fight, really close, came out of the second round. It's either do you favor Felder throwing those elbows off the back when he's on the bottom there, or do you favor Barboza being on top? That's what it comes down to. Super close fight. Again, the 30-27 scores in that fight were really stupid. Bad scoring by the judges, but 29-28 either way is okay. But either way, Felder said he's open to a trilogy with Barboza, which would be great. I mean, but the first two fights these guys had were awesome. He says he wants it for 5 rounds. He believes that Barboza is actually breaking, and he thinks he can finish him if it's 5 rounds. So I love this matchup. I think it is something that I'd like to see. I think a lot of fans would like to see this too. I don't know if the UFC wants to do this next, but in my opinion, a 5-round fight between Felder and Barboza as a main event for some card. Don't know where the card would be, but as a main event for a Fight Night card somewhere, in either Brazil or even the States, I think it makes sense. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I do think there's a chance that we could see this happen. Ali Abdelaziz, the manager of Nurmagomedov, was in the news. Again, TMZ interviewed him. He says that he wants Habib to fight George St. Pierre next. He doesn't think Tony Ferguson deserves a title shot for some reason, but he thinks George St. Pierre does. Listen, GSP versus Habib is obviously a huge fight. It's probably the biggest fight ever, maybe. For a couple of years there, I was saying GSP versus Conor McGregor should happen. I thought that was by far the biggest fight the UFC could make. I still think that's a massive fight. But right now, Habib is one of the biggest stars in the sport, and Habib versus GSP would be an incredible fight and also very intriguing. The problem is, one, GSP says he's retired. He did his official retirement, I think it was earlier this year or last year. I had that press conference at Bell Center. Also, he's never made 155 before. The fight would obviously take place at lightweight. And third, Habib has to fight Tony next. And that's the biggest hurdle, I think, right now. Tony Ferguson deserves his title shot. 12 straight wins, that's a title shot. So I understand why Ali wants the GSP fight. It's huge money. But I still think the Tony Ferguson fight's a big fight for fans, too. And I think fans want to pay for that. So I can't blame him for going out there and saying we want GSP. But to say that Tony doesn't deserve it and GSP deserves it more doesn't make any sense, because GSP hasn't even fought in 2 years now since the Michael Bisping fight. He has one fight in the last, 6 years? It should be Tony Ferguson versus Habib. And you know what? If Habib beats Tony Ferguson, yeah, at that point, maybe you do the GSP fight, you talk about it. But right now, he's got to fight Tony Ferguson. That fight has to happen next. Anything else is a farce. And I think a lot of people agree with me with that. Neil Magny's back in the news. Back in May, Neil Magny was set to fight Vicente Luque at UFC Rochester. And the last minute, the fight was canceled. He was removed from the fight and later said that USADA had provisionally suspended him for a banned substance or something. And now, 4 months later, he says he's being cleared by USADA. So the provisional suspension has been lifted. No further fines or sanctions. He was critical of USADA in his – there's an Instagram post that Magny made. He was critical of USADA, saying that basically, like, you're guilty, no proven innocent, which is 100% true. I mean, when USADA flags a guy, they're automatically suspended provisionally, and they have to sit out. Like, look at Junior Santos. He sat out, I think, almost a year, over a year, and then was cleared eventually. So he missed a year of his prime because USADA flagged him. It's good that USADA obviously has caught tons of people. They catch people all the time, and they're doing a great job. They've really helped clean up the sport, because the sport was super dirty before USADA came in. It's still a dirty sport, no doubt about it. There's still guys using that get away with it, but it's a lot cleaner than it used to be. But in the case of Magny, he missed 4 months. He missed a big fight with Luque. He didn't get money back for that, so he's got to make up for that now. It sucks. It is part of the sport. I'm just glad Magny's back. He's a good fighter, solid fighter. He has some good wins. That Calvin Gastelum fight from, I think it was like 4 years ago, maybe. That was an amazing fight. That was an incredible fight. So he has got the big wins. The Gastelum fight was back actually, 2015, 4 years ago. So that was an amazing fight. He has that win over Hector Lombard, that knockout. Also some good wins over guys like Carlos Condit, Johnny Hendricks. He has not fought since last November when he was knocked out by Santiago Ponzinibbio. But Neil Magny's a solid fighter, a solid talent. Who's he fight next? I don't know. I think at this point, he's the perfect gatekeeper for guys in the welterweight division. I think he is ranked. Again, the rankings are a joke. I don't want to talk about the rankings too much, especially after that Reddit post exposed how bad some of the voters are and how they don't even care about MMA. But he is technically ranked. So I think at this point, use Magny as a gatekeeper of guys like Jeff Neal, who are looking to break into the top 15. That fight makes a lot of sense. Bilal Muhammad, someone like that, someone who's looking to break into the top 15. That's the kind of matchup you do from Neil Magny next. It's unfortunate for Magny. He lost the Luque fight in that payday. But at the same time, I don't know how that fight would have went for him anyways. So I think Magny versus Jeff Neal, that's a fight that I'd like to see. A couple fight announcements here. UFC 244 gets a really good heavyweight bout here between Andre Arlovski and Dariano Rozenstruik. And the reason I like this one is because this is exactly how you should be using Andre Arlovski as a gatekeeper. And Dariano Rozenstruik is a guy that I think has some pretty good potential, actually, in the sport. Rozenstruik, he is 31 years old. So for a heavyweight, he's pretty young. 8-0 in his career, 7 wins by knockout. He's looked really good in the UFC. 2 straight wins over Alan Crowder and Junior Albini. The Alan Crowder win was really fast, 9 seconds. So that was an incredible knockout for him, obviously. Takes on Arlovski, who is 4 years old now, so a lot older. And Arlovski actually is coming off a decent win here over Ben Rothwell. But that was his first win in his last 5 fights. So he's obviously at this point just a gatekeeper, and this is the perfect matchup for him. I do think Rozenstruik wins. I think Rozenstruik knocks him out. But considering Arlovski has that experience, considering he has the cardio, and he hasn't been knocked out actually in, what is it, over two years now since the Nagano fight. That's surprising, but yeah, it's a fact. So maybe he can actually take this fight to deep waters and cause Rozenstruik some problems, but you have to favor Rozenstruik in this fight. There's no doubt about it. And the other fight announcement to mention quickly is UFC Mexico City has an injury to Marion Renault. She will not be fighting Irene Aldana. And now Vanessa Mello is stepping in on short notice to fight Irene Aldana. So this fight takes place next Saturday, actually. Not this one, but the next Mexico City. That card's really creeped up quickly. Irene Aldana has fought a lot this year. This is her third fight this year. I actually was at the Beth Correa fight back in May, and since then she's fought Raquel Pennington, lost the split decision. Now she'll be quickly coming back again, fighting Mello. So Irene Aldana is overall 3-3 in the UFC, so not a great record, but she does have a couple of, like, decent wins. I guess the Beth Correa win was obviously really good for her, and because it was a submission, and then the Lucy Putalova fight was a really fun fight, and also the Leslie Smith fight. She won fight of the night for that. So two fight of the nights in six fights. That's not bad. I've been a fan of Aldana since the Invicta days. She is definitely a talented fighter, but a little inconsistent in UFC. And I think the Pennington loss, that kind of set her back a little bit. If she had beaten Renault, that would have put her right back in the driver's seat. But now she takes on Vanessa Mello, who I'm not too familiar with. I'm going to pull her Sherdog out here. 9-5, according to Sherdog, 31 years old. She's on a four-fight win streak. She just picked up a win at Future FC, and I've talked about Future FC. That's Lucas's promotion. He's the manager, Johnny Walker, the guy with the big afro. So he's doing a great job there with Future FC. A lot of their fighters are getting signed to the UFC, including Mello here. Four straight wins. But two of those wins are split decisions, which I don't like to see. I don't know. Just she has a lot of decision wins. You don't like to see that heading to the UFC. You like to see someone that finishes. Who knows? I'm not too familiar with her. I can't really go out here and say for sure Aldana's going to win. But I would guess Aldana will be a pretty big favorite at the sports books, if I had to guess. And just going to see if there's anything else I missed here. The odds came out for Michelle Pereira and Tristan Connolly. I should mention that. That's going to take place this Saturday, UFC Vancouver. Pereira opened at minus 320. Connolly opened plus 240 right now. Pereira minus 550. Connolly plus 400. So Pereira's a massive favorite, and he definitely should be favorite, but that's kind of high, I think, minus 550. I know Connolly's taking on short notice. But look at that guy Worthy a few weeks ago. He took that fight on a couple days' notice against Devontae Smith and knocked him out. Like, why can't Connolly come in here and upset Pereira? At those odds, I personally would stay away. I wouldn't touch him at those odds. And that's pretty much it for new odds. I was checking. Oh, here, actually. Yeah, that's it for new odds. I did miss these the odds between on Jacek and Watterson. They came out last week. On Jacek's obviously a big favorite, minus 325. Barson plus 265. So I did miss those ones last week when they were released, but that fight's in October anyway. So it's actually a month from October 12th. So I think that's all I want to mention today. Just double checking here. Yeah, that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow, guys, talking about whatever else happens tonight and tomorrow. Hopefully the Gaethje and Cerrone fight stays booked. I really want to see this fight. I think everyone does. So hopefully his eye's okay. We all want to see this fight. At the same time, though, it's like, oh, man, if his eye's really bad shape, but he can't even, like, see the lights. That's not good. Anyways, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at MMAoddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel over at MMAoddsBreaker.com. I have my opening odds reactions for UFC Vancouver. I should mention myself and Cole Sheldon did a full podcast breaking down UFC Vancouver back on Tuesday, so go and check that out. BJPenn.com, it's my other home. I wrote an article yesterday about the UFC ranking system. You guys definitely need to check that out. It just exposes it. There's a guy on Reddit that did a great job of really breaking down all the voters. Out of the 14 voters, 9 of them are decent, I guess, decent enough to, you know, say they're MMA media members. And then 5 are just guys that aren't even involved with the sport. So it's just crazy to me that they're impacting fighters' lives so much. Check that article. It's really eye-opening. And a lot of people, you know, I read the comments always. A lot of the viewers are like, oh, this is old news. It's like, it's not really old news, guys. It really isn't. This is the guy that did this did a great job, and it's not old news. It really is eye-opening when you see how stupid some of these rankers are, because they don't even have websites that write about MMA. They don't cover it. They don't tweet about it. It doesn't make sense. But there are some good guys, though. Like Steve Jeffrey is a friend of mine. He's in Vancouver right now. Like, I know how, like, much he prides himself in the rankings. So they're not all bad, because I know, like, a guy like Steve, he really does take his job seriously. He talks to me about the rankings all the time, and he gives his thoughts and tells me why, you know, this guy was ranked above this guy. So there are some guys doing a great job. Brian Heminger, he's also doing a really good job. But for the most part, like, the rankings are pretty bad. So it is what it is. It just sucks that it impacts the fighters' lives so much. So anyways, check those out. And then also check me out at MMARings.net. I'll have an article there breaking down, or not breaking down, but previewing UFC Vancouver. So once again, guys, thanks for joining me today. I'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. Until then, have a good one. See you guys.